Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
So your host today, Maria Bailey, that would be me, is a year older. Yes, I put another one into the books this weekend and got to share it with some girlfriends, which is always a fun thing. You know, we forget as moms that we need a time out for ourselves sometimes. And like, wouldn't it be great if we could just throw ourselves in time out? So, okay, time out. You've done nothing wrong, but you need to be in a time out. And it was very funny. I think between all of the women that were in this girl's weekend away, we had 45 children, somewhere about that. And at the end of the weekend, everybody said, gosh, forgot what it was like just to be responsibility free in a way. You know, you're never quite responsibility free when you have children, but it sure was fun to sleep through the night and get up when we wanted and all of those things. It was a really great time. And I have some extra birthday cakes for everyone who would like it. Just tweet at me at Mom Talk Radio. I'll send you a piece in the mail. You know, we have a great show today, and this show is sponsored by Premama. Drinkpremama.com is the website. You can find all of their supplements. Whether you are just going off of birth control and you want to cleanse your body, or you have just had a baby and you are needing some extra energy, or perhaps an infertility supplement is in your daily need, you can find it at drinkpremama.com. And the best part is that there's no swallowing of big horse pills. No, you can just put it right in your juice or your smoothie and get everything that you need without swallowing one of those pills. We it has been such an incredible winter, hasn't it? With the cold, I don't know about you guys. Is anyone else ready for it to warm up? Even in Florida, we have seen temperatures that we don't typically see. So, and that flu is going around too. So if we can just get through February and March, I think that we've got some warmth coming our way. Remember, wash your hands, keep them off your face, don't cough around people, and get that flu shot. I understand that we still have about 5 more weeks of that flu. So, and most important, if you're a mom with a child who is sick, don't send them to school, because the rest of us are going to hate you tomorrow when our kids get sick. Anyways, we've got a great show lined up for you today. And when we return, we're going to be talking with one woman whose journey through life has taken her through a lot of loss, but she's ended up in a great place that she's sharing with you now as a coach. We're going to talk more about that when we return.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
When you read her bio, you would think that it was describing me. Number one, she's a popcorn addict. Yes, someone else who loves popcorn as much as me. She's authentic. I like to believe I'm authentic. She loves to travel. She loves chocolate. And she loves workouts. All really great things. After that, the road split a little bit, but we're right on target with that popcorn and working out. Our guest is Christiane Cates. She is an author of The Golden Thread, a memoir on daring to thrive in crisis. She has a very interesting story that she's going to talk about today. She also hosts the podcast on iTunes and Google Play called 30 Seconds. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that. And she's also going to talk a little bit about the importance of car seats, a lot of stuff, because this is one knowledgeable guest. So welcome, Christiane, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's so great to be here.
First, we just have to talk about popcorn for just a second. Okay, you're a popcorn addict like myself. I eat it every single day, every single day of my life. And I actually own the URL, ilovepopcorn.com. I'm going to launch a website later this year. But what's your favorite kind?
So I'm so basic. I do air popped with as much butter as possible. Sometimes it's almost a quarter stick of butter, which is so disgusting, but that's what we do.
No wonder you have to do you like workouts afterwards with all that butter. That's crazy. You know, National Popcorn Day was January 19th, which ironically is the day before my birthday. So you see, it all goes together for me.
Wow.
So yeah, it just passed, but I'm glad you like the air pop. That's my thing too. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about your story. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the 30 seconds that just really changed your life and what you've done with it?
Sure. So I was a mother of two, picket fence, a happy marriage, and one day I was driving down a rural highway in the Midwest, and I had an eyelash in my eye. I flipped on the visor, checked, driving 65 miles an hour, kids are in the seatbelt, and I got in a car accident. There was a dump truck that had come out of nowhere there was no on-ramp. It was a grassy road. Even the grass was growing over that road, so there was no way I could have known, and I ended up, my son died that day due to seatbelt injury, and my daughter had snuck hers off. I had made them put them on about 2 miles prior. We had stopped at a McDonald's, and she snuck hers off and lived, and he died of seatbelt injuries. So that's kind of where my story starts. It's that 30 seconds. As difficult as that is, and if anybody, you know, your listeners, some of them will know this familiar difficulty, but I really believe the marriage dissolved after that. It was just 18 months of traumatic change. What you sort of decide from that point is, you know, am I going down too, or what am I going to do with this? So I'd written a book. And really, that's just the story. People said to me, you've got to tell the story. I was never going to be an author. That's not my thing. But my son kind of knew that he was going to die. And he had talked to me about it ahead of time. And he even drawn a comic strip book with cars that had teeth in the grill and made these air bubble that you do in the comic strip book that says, Lord have mercy, save us from the endangered cars. So he didn't even talk like that. Like, he was a true boy. He was no saint.
Right. Right.
You know, everything happens for a reason, is sort of as difficult as that is to say. And I appreciate that not everybody looks at life like that. But I'm here with you having the opportunity to help other people, you know, not only talk about seatbelts, but, you know, what do you do when life falls apart? How do you pick it back up?
Right.
And so I love it. I love my passion.
Let's start with the seatbelt, because that's a really important lesson that you could save someone else's life. So what do moms need to know about that?
So first and foremost, safekid.org or the NHTSA has technicians that you can locate by your zip code to go there and make sure your seatbelts are properly installed. That my son was in a booster seat. He was wearing that seatbelt across his chest. But the seatbelt injuries actually, and if they're not properly installed and the seatbelt goes too high on the abdomen, that's really deceleration injuries that happens in adults. It's a really rare situation. So by no means am I suggesting you don't put your kids in seatbelts. That would be rule number one. You can check those out. They make sure they're tightly installed. That per your seatbelts, register those car seats. Register your car seats when you purchase them, because they'll send you recall notices. Don't buy a used one in my book, because you don't know if that thing has been in an accident. Make sure that the other thing that's really prominent for me that nobody thinks about is we bought a used vehicle. It was a Chevy Astro van. And when the accident happened, we kind of have this unexplained situation where he was the third row back to the far right. And some of the seatbelts now, if you Google that particular make, they now have like tethering, new instructions, seatbelt changes that have occurred. I don't know what those are, but those are recalls with the vehicle. Sometimes when you buy a used vehicle, you don't know if it's been in an accident before. And the second row seat was actually bowed forward. And we don't really have an explanation for for that. And speculation is too scary in some regard, but know what your vehicle's recalls are. If you bought a used one, take it into the dealership and check for seatbelts and ask those questions. Some of those bench seats, it's not just the Astrovan. Some of the driver's seats and the bucket seats will fly backwards in an accident. So just know what your make and model is and what any of those restrictions are or changes that need to be made on not just those, but the car seats themselves.
Very, very good advice. So we just have a couple of minutes left. Can you tell me what you're doing now to help moms? Because I know you're doing coaching and other stuff.
Yeah, so I have the best way to reach me if somebody was interested in that. I'm at ChristieAnnCates.com, C-A-T-E-S.com. And there's I do coaching. I've had single parent dads going through maybe their third divorce, and they're just like, what am I doing, and how did I do this, and how do I make a living, and if you can do this, I can do this. I've met moms who've been diagnosed with a disease and four children and the husband left, and just, you know, there's choices you can make. Take care of yourself first so you can take care of other people. Maybe, you know, find a belief system, whether it's your mantras or whether you're Jewish, atheist, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever that is, find a belief system that helps you find a better tomorrow. Exercise, eat right, find friends and support systems. And, you know, I think there's all those things together when you keep your mindset moving forward, there's opportunities there. And look, now I love speaking and having that opportunity to help somebody else or one-on-one conversation. It's the most meaningful thing out of your mess. Sometimes your most important purpose in life is found in your biggest challenge.
Absolutely. And I actually wear a bracelet on my wrist that says everything happens for a reason, because I believe, like you, that everything does happen for a reason. And we do find some of our biggest success in the things that go wrong in our life, or we think they're wrong. So we have a link to you, Christiane, on Mom Talk Radio and to your podcast. Thank you so much for being with us today. Congratulations on your podcast, 30 Seconds. It's really, really great. When we return, I'm going to pull from the archives one of my favorite interviews with a mom who was on a recent spotlight.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Today, our spotlight is on Susanna Barbie. She is the mother of two, a five-year-old and an eight-year-old. She has a website and blog, zealousmom.com, and you can find her on Twitter under the same name. And I want to welcome Susanna to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you there. So you have a blog, and I was just wondering, what will our listeners find if they go to your blog?
So I'm a full-time writer and online marketing manager. So I try to do a lot of organic storytelling on my blog. You will find sponsor posts. I love doing sponsor posts as well, but I'm always trying to keep the heart of my blog alive. So when you go to my blog, right now I'm actually doing my own national blog posting month. I know that traditionally people do it in November, but I kind of decided just to do it myself in December. I've had a crazy couple of years, and I decided to kind of reignite that daily habit of just organic writing. And so every day for, you know, in the month of December, I've been writing every morning. You know, I decided not to do any sponsor posts in December, and everything is just from the heart and sort of about my life as a mom and a writer and a daughter and a friend and that kind of thing. So that's what they'll find at the moment. If they go there right now, they'll see a lot of just, you know, storytelling. But traditionally, I love to talk about healthy eating, farm-to-table food, fitness, parenting, travel, you know, all the fun things that a lot of lifestyle and parenting bloggers love to write about.
Very cool. So what has been your most popular article on your blog since you started blogging?
My very most popular post is bullet journaling do's and don'ts. Bullet journaling is sort of a new phenomenon. A guy named Ryder Carroll started this technique of bullet journaling where you get a blank notebook and you kind of create your own planner. So it's very cool, and it's not as time-consuming as it sounds. But it's sort of, I don't know the exact year it started. I'm going to just sort of throw this out here, but don't quote me. I think maybe 2012 or around then. And I kind of got in on it really early, and so I started blogging about it. And I have one post that is just so popular because I think it's just in the bowels of Pinterest. But now, you know, now there are thousands and thousands of bullet journaling posts. But I've spoken about it at Blog Her and Taipei and a couple of conferences. And, yeah, it's just sort of a productivity and planning method, and you use a blank notebook. But, I mean, they can go – I've really have 8 or 9 posts about it, but I have one in particular called Bullet Journaling Do's and Don'ts that is definitely my most popular. After that, I would say some of my essential oil recipes, and those are my most popular all the time, but on a daily basis sometimes I'll have some other posts kind of, take a hit or whatever.
What's been the most satisfying thing and fulfilling things for you blogging and running your website?
Okay, so a couple of things. One, I've developed an amazing network of colleagues and friends through the blogging community, and the majority of them are women, and they're strong, intelligent, talented, creative women, and that has absolutely been a driving force in my life over the past 6 years while I've been blogging. And that would be number one. But number two, I was originally a teacher. I taught middle school English, and I started blogging in 2011, 2012 when I had my second son. And the blogging, just blogging, it gave me so much experience with, online media that now I'm working full time in that field. So, and I absolutely love my job right now. I work with a publishing house, and we publish a magazine and a newspaper, and then we create websites and do social media management and things like that, which my blog was my first published work. And I think my blog was a stepping stone toward a lot of writing opportunities and absolutely led to the job I have today.
Well, it sounds like it. And I just want to congratulate you on all of your success. That's truly amazing. And I want to let our readers know that you can go to zealousmom.com where you can find more of Susanna. And I hope that you and your family have a great holiday season. We have a link to zealousmom.com so all of our listeners can go and find you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Susanna, and taking time out from your family. I just want to remind everyone that if during the holidays you have a little bit more time, go into our archives, come to momtalkradio.com where you'll find all of our old shows or our shows that have passed, and you can play some of your favorite ones. Send me a tweet and I'll send you where to go if there's an idea that you perhaps had for a show, or you heard it and you don't know where to find it, we will help you find it. When we return, we're going to get an inside look at education and why things happen the way they do in our school system.
Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I'm delighted to have with us today Susan Wise Bauer. She is an educator, a historian, an academic who has worked with parents and students for more than 20 years. This is the part of her bio that I absolutely love. She taught at the only college, my dream college, that I did not get into when I was applying to schools, and that's William and Mary in Virginia. She was there for 15 years. I was there for none, apparently, but I'm so happy to have her, and I told her I was going to joke with her in her introduction. Her previous bestselling titles include The Well-Trained Mind, The Well-Educated Mind, The Story of Western Science, and The History of the World series. And I'm super happy to have her today. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
So so how was William and Mary? No, I'm just joking. but that's a good lead-in because, a lot of us have kids that have a dream school, right? That they just hope to get into, and I know one of the things that you know how to do is decode transcripts and standardized test scores. And, you know, our kids go to those, you know, websites and they see, okay, the average is this, and I'm a little above or I'm a little below. And you just don't know what to say to them. And, but it is their dream school. So how, tell me a little bit about decoding transcripts and standardized scores.
Well, when we're looking at how to encourage our children to be educated, I think we do have to sort of start with their college dreams and then look backwards. Mm-hmm. And I really think one of the important things that we have to do as parents is do our very best not to let kids get attached to dream schools. It's such a trap. Whether or not you get into your, maybe this will make you feel better, whether or not you get into your dream school actually has only tangentially to do with what's on your transcript. Of course, it helps to have a good transcript. Of course, it helps to have good grades and good test scores. But admissions decisions are based very largely on what a college wants to see in its overall student body as a whole. And there's just no way that you can know what that is.
Right.
So allowing a kid to get fixated on a dream school is a really bad way to plan out an education. It encourages them to keep something in mind that they have no control over, and that's never a good plan.
That is such really, really good wisdom. And just so everybody knows, I did go on to get a degree from Florida State and from Notre Dame. So I'm good. I don't need to go to William & Mary, maybe for my doctorate.
Kit, can I add to your story just very briefly? Only one of my kids actually applied to William & Mary, I actually didn't want the kid to apply to William & Mary. I thought it'd be good for him to get a little further away. He got into every other school he applied to, but not William & Mary.
Okay, good. Now I'm feeling really good. Thanks, Susan.
You're welcome.
So another, you know so much about education, and one of the things that, as a mom, sometimes you have children who are gifted. Sometimes you have children who have challenges. In my family, right. We had both. How do you learn to respond to those learning differences and, you know, be the best mom you can around education?
Well, I think that the labels gifted and challenged are useful in a way, but they're terribly misleading because generally gifted and challenged means out of sync or out of step. We have this pattern given to us in K-12 education of the pace at which children should progress through mastering subjects. And many times gifted means they're doing it faster and challenged means they're doing it slower. Not always. There can be other, you know, difficulties or other gifts there that we need to recognize. But I think that the first thing to do as good parents is to try to stick our fingers in our ears when we hear about what our kids ought to be doing at any particular time and look directly at the child instead. One of the things I talk about over and over again in my book is the necessity of seeing the child first and fitting the system to them rather than always viewing the child through the lens of the system that we're handed.
That is, again, such good advice. And you're right. You know, one time somebody said to me that it takes as much patience and diligence to teach and parent the gifted child as it does the challenged child. And I have to say, When I heard that, it really changed my whole perspective and made so much sense because, like, your quote gifted child, I had one child that, like, they could never just do the science project, right? Like, they always had to do more and make a bigger mess and it drove me crazy until the day someone said that to me and I was like, wow, that does make so much sense because...
Well, if you go back just to this idea of pacing, the real challenge with gifted children is that their minds are going at one rate, but their emotional development and their empathy and their ability to adapt is usually not keeping up with their intellectual advancement, and it makes parenting them a real challenge.
So talk about a little bit about maturity rate and mm-hmm. how we deal with that as parents, because that's also something that we don't always have a definite you know, scorecard for, and we have to kind of do our intuition.
We do. There are a few things you can ask yourself. I think if your kid is in school, you tend to get stuck on, are they keeping up with grade level? But I think you have to back away from that to evaluate maturity and ask yourself, is my kid bigger or smaller than the average? Is their physical coordination good, or is it sort of, you know, something that they're still working at? What's the emotional maturity like? Are they able to cope with difficulties? Are they able to cope with frustration, or do they burst into tears? How much do they sleep? How much do they eat? All of these have to do with maturity. And all of these questions, if you just look at your kid outside of the school system, can give you some idea of whether your kid is maturing, you know, sort of at the average rate of everyone else in their grade, which is kind of a myth, but it's what schoolwork is targeted towards. Or are they really maturing faster or more slowly? And always you have to remember that maturity is what we call asynchronous. It progresses differently in different areas.
Right. So could you, we're unfortunately out of time, and this is such a good topic. I want, and you're so wise, no pun intended to your name, but where can our listeners find you?
They can find us on the web. My website is SusanWiseBauer.com. And my education-focused website is WellTrainedMind.com. There's a forum there of hundreds, maybe thousands of parent educators who have many different experiences to share.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We have a link on our website, MomTalkRadio.com. And when we return, we're going to be talking about something you're going to go, huh, moms, why are we talking about socioeconomic studies, and what is the connection between baby names and the country's social mood?
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
This is going to be a super interesting topic today, because you're going to go, huh, moms, what are we talking about socioeconomics for? Alan Hall is our guest, and he's a senior analyst. Yes, it's not going to be boring. It's going to be really cool. Wait till you hear how baby names are. There's a connection with baby names and the country's social mood. And Alan has been analyzing that. He works with the Socioeconomics Institute, a think tank dedicated to using data on social mood to understand and anticipate social trends. He's advised a lot of people, including the military, and now he's advising us. So welcome, Alan, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, Maria. It's great to be here.
Well, I just want to hear how baby names, like, what is the connection with the social mood of the country?
Yeah, when the social mood, the collective psychology of the country is positive. People, in general, they're optimistic and they're confident about the future, and they bid up the price of stocks, and they tend to give their children more unusual names. So when social mood is negative, people are more pessimistic and fearful about the future, and they sell stocks, and they tend to give their children more common names. We don't really think that rising stock prices make people more optimistic, and we don't think the stock market affects how people name their children. It's sort of the opposite. The increasingly optimistic people make stock prices rise, and they the social mood affects the stock market and how people name their children.
Tell me what is a common name, like Michael, John, Matthew, those kind of names? What's uncommon?
Common names have changed over the centuries. We've seen some amazingly uncommon names lately, called, you know, such as Nell Marmalade or Eric Mustard, Vincent Mash, Poppy Honey Rosie, Daisy Boo Pamela, and people are just sort of throwing caution to the winds with naming their babies. This is especially true with celebrities doing this. And so here at the Socioeconomics Institute, we wondered if there was a connection between the social mood trend and the way people name their babies. And so the primary way to track this fluctuation that researchers have used is by looking at the percentage of babies named one of the top 50 or top 100 names, the most common names. Mm-hmm. And that percentage fluctuates with the social mood trend as reflected in the stock markets. When the markets are in big uptrends, parents choose less common names. And when the markets are in big downtrends, people retreat to the more common names for their babies, and they retreat to safer investments for their money.
Wow, that's amazing. So right now, then, what you're saying is we're seeing that trend where people are doing uncommon names.
Yes, they're naming their dogs uncommon names. People are naming their dogs after Ivanka Trump and Barb from Stranger Things. So there's an element of herding that's going on here, where people, you know, imitate each other in what they're doing. But there's also this underlying trend of optimism and pessimism that you can see. Our socionomic theory suggests that parents' tendency to choose ordinary names during a bear market, it reflects an evolutionary survival tactic, which is blend with the herd in times of fear and uncertainty. So it's logical that during bear markets, parents unconsciously fear that an unusual name could hurt their children's future job
prospects.
Do you also think,
when it's a good market, some parents tend to take more risk, right? And
yes.
So you would be taking more of a risk to name your child something a little bit more unusual than, say, in a more conservative time.
Yes. Typically, in more conservative times, people gravitate toward the more common names. And we think that, is an evolutionary survival tactic. And it's the same thing that's going on with stocks in a lot of ways. Just the risk tolerance
right.
is fluctuating up and down.
Well, that's amazing. So where can do you guys put out reports that we could read if we find this very interesting, which it really is?
Well, we do. We have a monthly publication called The Socionomist, but we've also published two brand new books recently, Socionomic Studies of Society and Culture and Socionomic Causality in Politics. I was lucky enough to contribute to both of those, and you can find them both on Amazon. They're fascinating reads. We've uncovered correlations between trends in the stock market and over 40 types of social actions. They range from shifts in prosperity versus depression, peace and war, authoritarianism, epidemic disease, sports power, horsepower, automobile fatalities, drug prohibition, and just lately, Major League Baseball home runs and strikeouts.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, we have a link to your website and to the books on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. That's really, you know, you kind of go through life, you don't really think about these things. And I'm glad there's people out like you out there who do think about it for us and then put it into an easy book. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And we are going to take a short break. And when we return, we've got a guest that you're going to love because it's all about travel with your kids.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I'm delighted to have with us Shelley Bailey Shaw. She is the founder and editor of Kid Tripster, and it's an online family travel magazine that provides information and inspirations to families traveling anywhere in the world. She and her family have been just about everywhere, and she's here to talk a little bit about their top 10 family destinations for 2018. Welcome, Shelley, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. So I didn't see London, Paris, or Barcelona on the list for families. Tell me a little bit about your list and how you came up with it.
Right. So the list is a combination of, first of all, budget-friendly options. Secondly, destinations that are having something going on special this year, special celebrations, perhaps. And third on the list are places where there's some urgency to go because the destinations themselves are at risk.
So let's start with the at-risk ones. What kind of destinations are those?
Well, first on our list is Glacier National Park, which is my favorite national park. I've been to 44, so I know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, but by 2030, scientists predict all the remaining glaciers here will actually disappear. So now's the time to go to Montana, even if the national park fees end up rising.
I actually think national parks are the best deals out there. So
on our list are U.S. national monuments. Sometimes they get overlooked by people. And as you know, President Trump shrunk two of Utah's national monuments just last month. But we've really found these destinations to be impressive. I recommend the John Day Fossil Beds in Oregon, Mount St. Helens in Washington, Craters of the Moon in Idaho, and probably my favorite one is Natural Bridges in Utah. There's another destination on our list that, too, is at risk, and that's the Great Barrier Reef. As you probably know, in 2016 and 2017, there was unprecedented, like, back-to-back bleachings in the north and central sections of the reef. So, you know, previously I would have suggested to families to go to the Port Douglas area, but now I'm saying to go to the south part of the reef. The Whitsunday Islands, I think, are your best bet. There are a lot of family-friendly resorts there, or you may even decide to, you know, board a yacht and explore several islands in one trip.
But Australia tends to be expensive once you get there. Are there destinations that are more budget-friendly than that?
Absolutely. You know, topping the list this year, I think, is the Caribbean. Normally, maybe a pricey vacation, but this year, because of all the press regarding the hurricane destruction in the region, even the islands that weren't hit are being forced to discount. So think Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, Grand Cayman, St. Lucia, even Cancun and Belize. And as some of the other islands start to recover, you're going to see discounting there too. So many of the resorts in Puerto Rico are actually already online, and you know, they're looking for customers. So I say support the Caribbean.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in a plug for Turks and Caicos because that's one of my family's favorite destinations. So, so what else is on the list? We have 2 minutes left. I want to make sure that we not only talk about the list, but what our listeners will find on your site.
Absolutely. So two cities make our list this year. They're both celebrating 300th birthdays. So the first is New Orleans. So maybe with a family you skip Mardi Gras, but there's plenty of other more PG events going on all year long. Plus, you know, New Orleans has a world-class zoo, an aquarium, an insectarium. There's swamp tours, ghost tours. And, of course, all the beignets that you can eat, right? San Antonio, too, is having a celebration this year. And if your kids loved the movie Coco, I'd actually recommend going during the city's Day of the Dead celebration in late October. San Antonio is also surrounded by six theme parks and water parks that your kids will love, and they have, like, you know, the best Tex-Mex food ever.
That's right.
And then Northern Michigan, ideal choice for families who like the outdoors, specifically Traverse City and Mackinac Island, which is an island where they don't allow cars. You travel on horseback carriages or bikes. And last would be Ireland, as an alternative in Europe to London, Paris, Barcelona. We love Ireland for families. And you got to get out of the cities and get to the countryside.
Really great list, and a lot more can be found at kidtripster.com. Thank you, Shelley, for sharing a little bit about that. And we've got a link on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you for sharing your day with us here at Mom Talk Radio. Check out our website where you can find out about our guests and a little preview of next week. Have a great week, everyone.